I just want to be open and honest today. I feel like this morning is one of those days that I woke up going, oh no, I forgot about this. Oh no, I forgot about this. Oh no, I've had one of those days. And as I continued on in the service, I've even had that where I'm like, I feel like I'm flying by my seat of my pants. All right, so though I know I have announcements to give, and this is not the appropriate time to give it. I want to give it at the end. If I forget, somebody yell at me in the kindest tone. That's not my wife. All right? Remind me there's announcements at the end. All right? Because I know me. I know where my heart is. I know what's been on my plate this morning. I know that I want to make sure the biggest thing that we get out of this morning is what God's word is bestowed upon me and what I think God has put on my heart. And I can easily just move on and go, okay, we're time to go. And I know there's an announcement that I don't want to miss. It's small groups, but this isn't it. I don't want to miss it, all right? So please don't let me miss it. And I think this is just, it leaves to the anticipation. What has he got to announce, right? So hold on to it. But don't let that clutter the brain right now. Let's empty the noise and let's listen for God's word this morning, right? All right. There's another thing that I want to open up, and I'm going to be up front. We were supposed to have a baptism today, and it wasn't going to necessarily be in part of service. We have somebody that wants to get baptized and only wants to do it with family. It's a teenager that's nervous about getting in front of people, which I understand. I'm nervous too, right? I don't like getting in front of people. Who knows what I'm going to say? That's why I'm nervous, right? But God's put me here. And she's sick this morning. So be praying for her, all right? If you want to know who it is, you can come and ask me later. But I do think there's sometimes that God does things, and I was even asked, hey, do you want us to empty it now? And I thought it would be funny to, like, go ahead and empty it and have it gurgle the whole time while I'm preaching, and you'd be like, what is going on, right? Maybe last week it would have been good to have the noise effect of it and be like, yeah, see, it's tough to concentrate when there's noise around, right? Anyway, our second thought was this. Maybe God has a reason for this to be happening this morning, that we have the baptismal full. If during this service you feel like I need to be baptized, I'm all for it. I'm ready for it. I don't care if you're like, if you didn't bring extra clothes, I'm sorry. But if you feel overwhelmed, you can even use my towel. I'll just go home wet. That's fine, right? But I want you to know we have the baptismal ready. If you feel called this morning to be baptized, which I will explain throughout the service what that means, be baptized, okay? Be praying about it now. Be thinking about it. Let the Spirit move this morning, right? We want to be a church that is ready. And if the Spirit is willing and you are willing, we don't want to say, well, let's plan it out. God's already planned it. We have to be willing to say yes, right? So it's full, it's ready. If somebody feels called to do it, we'll do it this morning, all right? I want you to know that. It's awesome. I think it's a great opportunity. It's something, actually, as a pastor, I want to be more diligent of maybe having a Sunday every 2 months, I don't know, where we have it ready, and we know we're a church that's anticipating something, right? We're a church that knows God's working, that God's not just waiting for his people, he's working in people, and that we're a church that's like, we've been praying for this. We're not surprised that God's moving. Can you imagine being that church? I want to be that person. And I'll be honest, there's times where I'm like, wow, I'm surprised that God moved. And I shouldn't be surprised, right? God is ready, God is willing, God is moving, and I believe it, and I don't want to be caught off guard. That means my heart needs to be ready. That means we need to be ready as a church, right? And I will tell you, I hope you've been praying for friends. I hope you've been praying for restoring a family or relationships, and when they do, don't be surprised. Be ready. Be ready for what God is doing, all right? Because I want to be ready. I want to be ready for the times that the things that I've been praying about, that God moves, and I'm like, okay, I know what to say. I know how to act. I know what God has put here, and I'm ready to hug. I'm ready to love. I'm ready to care. I'm ready to give grace, right? I'm ready to forgive. But I have to allow God to work in here too, all right? All right. That's not even the sermon, right? You get that one for free, all right? Last week, we talked about noise, we talked about worry, we talked about being a living sacrifice. These things, giving to God, meaning these things we understand, my life is for God, these worries are no longer mine, and when I do get overwhelmed, I put them at the center of God, and I know he can carry me through them, right? Allowing the noise to drown out in my life and allowing God's voice to be loud is huge in our life. We are overwhelmed with noise. We are overwhelmed with the objects in our face and always going and always moving. It's so hard sometimes to recognize God speaking to us. Today, I'm going to talk about giving God our halo. Right? This is kind of an old thought. This is an old, you know, something like this is not, like, if I say it to my teens, you're like, talking about the game Halo? There is a game called Halo. Anybody know it? All right? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, not playing this game. I'm talking about what halos represent is holiness, righteousness, right? And I'm going to talk about what some of our halos maybe might be too tight, meaning that we put them on there and it's on there and we know they're snug and we know I'm righteous, right? And it's a new kind of righteousness, right? Now, I think all of us know we're broken. We're not perfect. More than likely, right? It's there. And we're okay with that. And we want other people to be okay. Well, I'm broken. I'm okay. I know I'm not perfect. But this is the other side of the coin that I think where we have gotten our halos a little too tight, right? I think we have high expectations for others to be righteous, to be good, to act right. To be right, to be holy, right? And when they don't, I'm going to tell you right now, I feel like I'm the worst, like this sermon has attacked me this morning. Because I have high expectations of those who follow Jesus Christ. I have high expectations of other pastors. I really do. I have a high expectation of myself, and there's many times I have let myself and God down. Many a times, right? And I'm frustrated by that. What's cool is we worship a God that's not frustrated by that. It continues to tell us it is not you that makes you righteous. It is I that is righteous through you. Right? But my eyes and my heart need to change how I see other people. And I think this goes for us as not just the Nazarene church, not here at Springfield, just believers need to understand what grace is. Right? And if I asked you personally, if you were to define what grace was or is in your life and whether or not you deserve it, and this is rhetorical, you don't need to answer me, do you deserve grace? No. You don't. Like, that's the whole point of grace. You don't deserve this. You know, in all accounts, we deserve every punishment we deserve, right? If you notice, both my kids are not here. They had times with family, so I get to pick on them because they're not here. I pick on them anyway, right? It's just part of being a family, part of me. They signed up for this, whether they know it right. My wife really signed up for it. The kids just have to live with it. They were born into it, right? My daughter lately has come up with a new term, and Michelle was giving Natalie a hard time, I think it was, and Natalie looked at me and goes, Dad, you need to Bible her. And I was like, what? Hold on here. Pump the brakes. What do you mean by that? What do you mean that I got to Bible her? And she goes, you got to Bible her. She's not acting right. She's not being kind. She's not being... Like, these things, I'm sorry, you were fine. I got to go home, all right? And I continue on, what do you mean by Bible? Like, you want me to tell her everything in the Bible that she's doing wrong? No, I want you to hit her with the Bible. Oh, makes more sense, right? Makes it easy. And I think in reality, we kind of have that mindset when we know that other believers are not acting, being, or living the right way, and we think this is our opportunity to show them grace, and we hit them with it. Maybe. Right? And not like physically, because that's an assault, right? But emotionally and convicting. And we have forgotten that our halo was not put on our heads by ourselves, right? And when let me even draw back. Let's get away from the ideology of halos. Righteousness. It has become such a bad terminology for Christians, has it not? It has. If you say that person is righteous, it almost gives this, they're very judgmental. They think they're holier than thou. And I want to be a church that takes that back. Because it was meant to be such a great terminology, because the reality is if they were righteous, it meant they understood they had to humble themselves before God, and everything that they lived was by God, nothing else. And their actions were people with were humbled and graceful and caring and not judgmental, right? I wanted to give some scripture that looks like this. Luke 18, 9 through 14 says this. I'll read it. I don't have it written up there. If you want to follow along, you can. I'll give you a couple seconds. It's Luke 18, 9 through 14. It's the parable of the Pharisees and the tax collector, right? And this is a moment where Jesus was having an interaction with Pharisees, and they were questioning his authority. They were questioning who he was, right? And he was telling stories. He was living with people that they thought are unholy. They were not righteous, and they don't deserve his time. If he's really, really the man of God that he says he is, he should be avoiding these people, right? And he comes along and tells this parable. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee / self-righteous Christian, or self-righteous God follower, not really a God follower, was in it for themselves. They knew everything that was in the Old Testament. And they knew how to say it. They knew how to repeat it. They knew how to argue with it. All right? They had every law down. And at that time, the laws were even more than what it's written in here. It was like a library of laws that they had to have memorized. And then they were waiting for people to mess up. They were excited when they got to share with others, you messed up. We get to convict you. Right? Sorry. That's not in the scripture. That's just me saying this. And the other, a tax collector. They were jerks. They were the thugs that came and kneecapped you for money. They were the ones that did not have a good reputation. They came along and was like, people avoided the tax collector because they knew, not just because they wanted to take their money, they took the money forcibly. If you had it or not, if you could give it or not, they didn't care whether or not you had that money, you just gave it, right? And so did they have a good reputation? No. They were mean, right? And anybody know one of the disciples was a tax collector? Matthew, right? Now, I want you to understand that Jesus asked Matthew personally to follow him, which was amazing, right? Because he fit into this role of being like a reputation of just mean, right? So he asked them, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, thank you that I am not like other people. Ever prayed that? Maybe. I might have even said it about people that I know. I'm glad I'm not them. Woo-hoo! Right? Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this, tax collector, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. Yeah. I'm righteous. This was his prayer. And I think some of us, if you don't put this dramatic scene on it, are okay with that. If I can be up here every morning, every Sunday, and be like, okay, this is how I worship this week. This is how I've given this week. This is all about what Ben Alexander has done, you know, and God is, he's good, you know, but it's really me doing this. Follow me, we've missed the whole point. We've missed it. All right? But the tax collector stood at a distance. And this is so important. Like, I think this is so cool. This is one of those moments that I think about when I'm up here preaching, that I think about this. I'm sorry, I moved off the camera. I'm sorry, I'm still here. I gotta learn. But I honestly, like, my reality is I would rather preach up there so your focus isn't Ben Alexander. See, the tax collector at this knew, this isn't about me because this is so much more. That he put himself off to the side, and he probably spoke softly. He didn't probably speak loud for everybody else to speak, to hear, because it wasn't about him. It was about this moment with God. All right? He stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that was it. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. What a parable, right? What a thing that Jesus is saying to the people that are confronting him of who he has even authority from, right? He's telling them, listen, your righteousness isn't from you. Your halo that's so tight needs to be loosened to realize it is not you that makes you holy. It is not your actions that make you holy. It's allowing God to reside in your house, your home, your life that makes you holy. So whatever action you do, whatever thought you have, whatever amazing thing that you're doing for God, I want you to know first and foremost, it starts by the grace of God that's working in you. And you better give him the praise. Right? Right? It's this ideology that it's not about me. And it flips the coin how we need to see each other and even see the world. There are many times in my life that I have prayed for God to give me his eyes when I see his people, when I see sinners, when I see people that are not living their life, and to help me learn how to love them and show them grace. And he continues to remind me, hey, you're in the same boat as them. That you are no better, and I still love you. My righteousness is not because of anything I do. It is found on the cross where forgiveness is born every day for me. Where my sins are taken every day, right? The next parable is this. Is Matthew 21, 28 through 32 says this. And if you don't know what parables are, it's the way Jesus communicates with us to tell a story that is relevant to their culture at that time that makes it so we easily understand. For the most part, disciples still had to ask, what did that mean, right? And some of us still have to ask that. I do too, right? This one says, what do you think? There's a man who had two sons. Let me ask the question before that, though. They discussed among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, oh, never mind, I'm sorry, I'm lost myself. This is part of this morning where I'm trying to figure out what I'm saying, right? God, whew. All right, what do you think? There's a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. And he answers, I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing, and he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what the father had wanted? It's a simple parable, very simple, right? And I find myself at home doing the same thing. I'm asked to do a chore or I'm asked to do something, and my first gut reaction is to say, no, and it never ends up good, right? And I learned if I just say yes, usually it goes better, but if I don't do it, right? I have learned, okay, yes and do is the best option. But my internal Ben, who loves to joke and loves to have a heart and loves to give people a hard time. I went as Oscar the Grouch yesterday because I think that's who I am internally. I'm just grouchy. At least that's what my wife tells me and the kids tell me, right? I'm just there. But God's moving and he uses this grouch to spread joy. Promise you I do, right? God works in me. If he can work in me, he can work in you. Trust me on that, all right? Amen? Right? Yeah. All right. Now I'm motivated. All right. In this is how Jesus explains it. He says, they answer him back the first, of course. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom ahead of you. I want you to put everybody else out what you think they're thinking. What I want you to put in your heart is there somebody you have thought they're never going to go into heaven? They don't get it. They don't deserve it. Can you imagine that day and they're in line before you? And my thought with this is, will you be frustrated? Or will you be filled with joy? You see, we get it. If you're sitting here in this moment and knowing who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus has done for you, we get it. We understand this is not about us. This is about God, our Lord and Savior, who sent his Son and died for us, for our sins, our personal sins, the sins that I'm creating tomorrow, the sins that I'm creating now, the sins that I have done in the past. If I believe it, that he has died for me, and I accept that, and I want that forgiveness, it is done. We are written in the book of heaven, and we know it. My question for us is, why does it end there? Why doesn't it move forward that hope, that grace, that mercy isn't given and seen through for everybody else? Am I right? I think God needs us to understand what the grace that he has for us daily, and that we don't earn it, we don't deserve it, and he gives it and he expects it out of us. I think that last one is so, so important. Because we live in a world that's dark, right? We live in a world that's lost. We live in a world that's hopeless. We even maybe live in a home that might be hopeless and dark. We may even know people in our life that's hopeless and dark. But we are not called to run from them. I mean, there's a song about it. This little light of mine, right? I'm going to hide it because all I want to do is let it shine on me, is not the verses. But I think we live that way in many ways. That we're able to shine the light bright in the moments that it's the easiest, but God calls us into this world that's dark and hurt and angry. And the realization is this. It is not easy to have my light in a world that is completely dark, because then I am standing out and I'm a beacon for people to hit me. Look what they did to Jesus. He's the ultimate light. He's the ultimate one with hope to restore. He came and he let people know he was the Son of God. He let them know that he's the Messiah, that he came to make this all right. And what did they do to him? Did he back away from it? Was it easy for him? That's not what I have read. When I read, he sat in a garden begging his Father, please, if there's any other way, take this cup. Let there be any other way. And at that moment, he knew there is no other way. And he still took that cup. And that cup meant salvation for you. That cup meant salvation. his life for you. And he was a beacon of light. And he tells us to pick up our cross and follow him daily. Right? And what that looks like is not for us to hide and not to run from the world and not to be the one convicting them. Because who came to do that? God did. Not us. What does he charge us to do? Okay, not rhetorical. Love. The same grace that's given to you freely is the same grace that's bestowed upon you to give to others. And it's going to cost you. It's going to be painful. You know, God, I look through Scripture and I try to find, there are moments that he made things great for people. At the same time, greatness would look different for a lot of different individual stories, right? Do you know Jonah is an amazing story? He was reluctant to go where he was called. To a point like he kept running from it. And I think some of us might even have the Jonah story where we keep getting put in a situation like, God, why do you keep putting this in my lap? I don't want to love these people. I want them out of my life. You don't know what they've done to me. And God continues to say, I love you. You don't know what you've done to me. Be used by me to share the same light and grace and love and forgiveness that I have given you to give to others. Right? It's not easy. See, life isn't called to be easy. We are called to, what I love about this, we are called to be in a community that holds each other up, that carries each other's burdens, because guess what? We are going to have burdens. Our biggest burden should be for the lost. Our biggest burden should be for each other and what we're going through, right? Now, there are moments, this is an honest pastoral confession. I feel like there's many times I cannot be human with you. There are many times, like, I know I'm grumpy and how I've woken up, and I got to answer that phone call, and I can't be like, what? Right? Okay, I'm finding a new church. That guy's a jerk. Not going to work, right? There's many moments where I'm like, if I'm counseling, and I'm like, my life is in shambles right now. How am I doing this for you? Right? And I don't think that's just me. I think a lot of us worry about how we are going to be betrayed. And the reality is this, we are called to carry each other's burdens. We are called to understand and ask the question, hey, I notice you're short. I notice you're frustrated. I notice things are not, you're not yourself. How can I love you? Our natural reaction is to be, what a jerk. How can you treat me this way? How can you be this to me? Don't they know who I am? I'll just go find a new place. And I want you to understand, that is not how God has designed us. He has designed us in a way that we need to be attentive to each other. And it's not an attack on us, that there's something attacking them. And our first inclination is to humble ourselves and share grace with them. Right? But it's not easy. This means we have to loosen our halos. We have to allow God to be our righteousness and not us. And when people hurt us, we don't carry that hurt. We understand who God is, and he carries that. And he's bigger than the hurt that people are sharing. He's bigger than the voices that, the mean things that people say. He's bigger than the moments that I don't react right. Now, does it give me an excuse to be mean to you? No. Does it give us an excuse to be whatever we want to somebody? Absolutely not. But at the same time, it defines how I react to somebody that's not being healthy. You see, we live in a world that's broken. I've said it and said it and said it. And brokenness shows up at church. It better. And the only one that fixes it, the only one that heals it, the only one that mends it is God. And the cool thing about God is he allows us to be a part of the story. But it's our choice of whether we act the way God has called us to act, or we act out of our brokenness and we are mean and hurtful right back and judgmental. You see, we can't stand on our own righteousness. Because the moment we stand on our own righteousness, we become like the Pharisees. Nobody is beyond God's love. Nobody. Everybody has the option to be forgiven. Everybody has the option of being loved by God, redeemed by God. And we need to see him the way God sees them. Give your righteousness to God. Make him be the one that makes you holy. It is not your actions that define that. It is only God that defines that. And let me help clarify that real quick too. You see, as a husband, I love my wife, but if I never show her I love her, do I really love her? No. I can say it till my face is blue. You see, the same goes with my relationship with God. You see, the reason I want to be closer to God, the reason why I want to read his word, the reason why I want to pray is not because I have to, it's because I want to. Because I know what God has done in my heart. I know what God is doing daily with me, and he's forgiving me, he's showing me grace, he's showing me what it is to be a righteous man, and that is what we are called to do. But it's a relationship that's reciprocal in a way that is not demanding. It's a want. I want to be with God. I want God to have my life because he deserves my life. Give God your righteousness this morning. Sermon 3. Maybe this morning I've already talked about it, you feel like you're called to be baptized. If you're ready to show that everybody is like, this is the morning I know God has moved in my life. I want everybody to know that he is my Lord and Savior. We have that opportunity. Anybody there? And if not, this is not to make you stress. This is not to make you go, I feel like I'm being pressured. The only one that's going to pressure you, the only one that's going to do this to you is the Holy Spirit. I just want to use the opportunity if God is making it happen, all right? If you're called to do that this morning, stand up. All right, we're good. If this isn't the morning but you have questions about it, come and talk to me, all right? Find a board member, find Tim, Harrison, me, talk to us. We'd love to tell you about a day to get baptized, a day to be able to tell the church, hey, I don't want to be this alone anymore. I want you guys to know that I want you to carry my burdens together, that I want you to know that I'm in this with you together, that I believe Jesus Christ is my righteousness, and I can only do it by him, and I want you guys all to know it and hold me accountable to it, right? That's the opportunity. This is why we do this, all right? So it's available, all right? Come talk to me if you're interested. Announcement, right? Announcement. It's really just one announcement that I want to give. November 13th, write this down, put this on your phones. Everybody that's part of a small group, we have a gathering. We're going to have some food here, right? We're asking you to bring a side dish or dessert, okay? If you're interested in being part of a small group, this is for you too. This is an opportunity to hear what's going on in our small groups, how they're changing lives, how we're helping each other live a righteous life, not one that's full of judgment. And we are helping people grow closer to God. And it's us together. right? And what I've heard is great stories. I've heard great testimonies. And you're going to hear these testimonies on this day, right? November 13th, I believe it's at 12 p.m., right? Here in the gym. Food, there will be food, right? At 20 years of youth ministry, food's how you get people, right? I want you to know what this is really about is just sharing what God is doing in our lives, how he's moving in our small groups, how he's transforming this heart of this church to love their community, grow closer to God, and move and do what God has called them, right? That's what we're doing. We want to be the church that's doing this, and this is part of our grow. So come and be part of that. All the rest of the announcements are on this sheet, right? Take this sheet home. Yes. Oh, sign-ups are right out there. Yes. Oh, there you go. Sign-ups for this. Please sign up for the small group outing. It's right there at the welcome desk right there. Please sign up. Other than that, stand with me, church. I want you to know I am so glad to be part of this church. That me and Michelle and the kids feel so loved, appreciated, we do. And I will tell you, it has been such a blessing to me. I don't feel like in my walk with God, I have grown so much more since I've been here. And my desire, God is in control, right? Do I make mistakes? Yes. Am I going to be sometimes pick up the phone? This is what I'm going to ask, that you show me grace if there's a day I'm like, what? Or I say, Ben Alexander, and I forget the rest of it, like, hey, this is Springfield First Church of the Nazarene, because I did that this week, right? I've even forgotten names this week. I keep calling Dave Buchanan Bill. I don't know why, right? My brain's not working. But God gives me grace, and my hope is that we learn to give each other grace on a daily basis. Allow God to be your righteousness this week. Go and be the church that God's called you to be.